Yawning, the fawn-coloured Bedlington Whippet Cross reluctantly levered herself out of the passenger seat and trotted along behind me. We weren't the only ones who had taken the journey to Ness Point, the most easterly spot in the UK to watch the sunrise, but we stood a little apart from everyone else, and I gazed in awe as the sky turned gold before the sun appeared majestically over the horizon. The few clouds in front of it turning the beams into something akin to an Art Deco sunburst. "What shall we do now?" I asked Nell, once the spectacle was over. She responded by leaning heavily against my legs and pushing her damp nose into my hand. "Shall we go and see Eloise?" Her tail thumped and her eyes brightened a little at the sound of her mistress's name. "Come on then," I said, turning back to where I'd parked the van. "Let's go." By the time we arrived, I had mixed feelings about the visit. I couldn't talk to Eloise without mentioning what it was that I had lain awake half the night trying to find the words to say, but I knew I couldn't put it off much longer, no matter how unpalatable it was. "I really hope I'm mistaken about this, Eloise," I swallowed, pulling my thick, dark plait over my shoulder in a gesture she was sure to recognise as me seeking courage and comfort. "But I have a horrible feeling that Jackson's gearing up to sell the estate. I might be wrong," I quickly added, "but there's a couple of things he's said during the last few weeks, and I get the feeling..." My words trailed off, and I flicked my hair away again. Eloise was a great one for trusting her instincts, and she had taught me how to rely more on mine, so there was really no point trying to sugarcoat the situation. Nell sighed, rested her head on her paws, and stared at me. Her gaze struck me as reproachful. "It's no good looking like that," I told her. "It's nothing to do with me. I'm hardly going to be able to change his mind, am I?" I wondered what would happen to Nell if Jackson did sell up and move back to America. I couldn't imagine for one second that the comfort of his great-aunt's rescue dog would be high on his list of priorities. Given that if he did cut and run, I could well lose not only my job but my home too, I really had more pressing things to worry about, but I was fond of the dog, and unlike me, she had no say over her fate. Little had I known when I first went to visit Eloise that fate had led me to her beautiful house and garden, not to size the place up as a potential venue for my forthcoming wedding, as was the original plan, but as somewhere, for want of a less cliched phrase, where I could find myself. Within hours of my arrival, I had broken off my engagement and accepted Eloise's offer of a gardening job and a place to live. The last 3 years had been an education, both personally and professionally, and even though I didn't feel ready to graduate, circumstances, this time beyond my control, suggested that I was going to be moving on again. "I'm sorry not to come with better news," I said, leaning over the grave to rearrange the flowers I had brought the week before, and which were still holding their own in spite of the hot September days. "But I wanted you to hear it from me, Eloise, and I know it's a lot to ask, but if you have any thoughts as to what I'm supposed to do now, I could really do with a sign because I have absolutely no idea at all." I sat back on my heels and listened to the silence in my head. My thoughts were still too clouded with grief to see the path ahead for myself. I could hear Nell starting to snuffle about, a blue tit twittering, and somewhere in the distance a tractor at work, no doubt preparing the ground for next year's crop, but that was it. There was no inspirational thunderbolt, no flash of enlightenment to reignite my creative spark. "Not to worry," I smiled, trying to sound stoic as I got ready to leave. "I'm sure I'll come up with something, and besides, I might be wrong. I'll see you next week." It was hot back in the van, so I turned over the engine, let down the windows and flicked on the radio. Nell drank her fill from the doggy water bottle I always carried with me while I tried to decide whether to head back to Broadmeadows or make the most of my day off and explore further afield. "That's not right, is it?" I said, reaching to retune the radio, which had somehow switched from BBC Suffolk to BBC Norfolk. "Come on, Nell. It's time to go." I had hardly driven any distance at all before the radio crackled and slipped back to Norfolk news again, but I couldn't change it because the road ahead was busy. "The beautiful gardens